Hey there, folks. You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
That's right. Here we are, Treaty 1, University of Winnipeg, CKW 95.9 FM. You're here with the Arts Talk Radio Show, and we got co-host
Zoe LeBrun
and Derek Breckner. Hey, Zoe.
Hey, Derek. Nice to see you.
Likewise, as always. Busy week this week in the art world of different things going on for you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Care to elaborate, or is that kind of like much info for everybody?
Well, I mean, I haven't been installing anything, but we took down J.D. Mang's show at the School of Art Gallery. That was a great show.
Yeah.
The Winnipeg Film Group exhibition is still up at Platform for another week or so, so make sure you check that out.
Is Platform what, Saturdays?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, 11 to 4.
Okay, I might I'm gonna try and check it out Saturday, I think.
Yeah.
I haven't been to it yet, which is crazy. It's like,
it's a very dense show. Make sure that you
give yourself time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lots of reading and lots of archives, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
But today in the studio we have Bramwell Enan, an artist who is part of a dual exhibition at the gallery.
Is 226 Main Street, and we had Mathis Grunsky on last week. Mathis was part of this two-person show, and Mathis suggested, you know, have you guys thought about interviewing Bramwell? And I thought, yeah, let's ask him. So I asked Mathis for Bramwell's email, and he responded back and said, yeah, let's do it.
Thanks for being here.
So welcome to the show, Bron.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And what's really amazing is that Bramwell is going to read our lips the entire interview, which is totally amazing, but we can maybe elaborate on that later, but if you want.
He's going to be quite the speed run, but we'll get through it.
Yeah. It's great. So, you know, Bram is a graduate of the School of Art. When did you graduate?
Back in 2016. It's quite a while now.
Yeah. So that's almost 9 years ago. That's hard to believe.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, your work in terms of involving a lot of printmaking and papermaking. And
those are two areas that I've kind of kept with me for a while.
Yeah.
But not quite so much as a focus, but as an area of, you know, sharing now, because I ended up in teaching after. But printmaking is first love, for sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess when I look at your work, and I can kind of see where elements of printmaking processes could come into play.
Absolutely. There's a very fundamental way of thinking about, you know, art making that is grounded in printmaking, this kind of reproduction, making a lot of stuff and planning it out, thinking about layers. It's very intimate, but also very prolonged and very satisfying too.
Yeah, and the idea that sometimes you don't know what you're going to get until you pull that print.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. There's always that element of discovery.
An indirect process.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in your current show, Soft Paths, you have like a really wide array of different works. There's like sculptures hanging on the wall. There's a small embroidery piece, which I loved to find that.
He found that one.
Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, it was like hidden. It's not lit as well as it should be, but it's like, it's kind of like a little secret in the show, so you got to watch out for that one, folks.
Yeah.
I actually call that one the stray cat, because that's the little piece that doesn't quite fit in, but it just made its way in, and it feels like it belongs now.
Oh,
yeah,
totally.
Yeah, I would agree. The color scheme is very similar. You have a great use of color. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, do you want to talk a bit about how you came to move from printmaking into these more like sculptural forms of art making?
Oh, that's a long story, long journey.
Well, we got 25 minutes, so, you know, take your time.
Well, the pandemic was pretty much foundational there. Like, for a lot of people, it's kind of the before and after. Before, when I was more interested in printmaking, that was when I was in school, so I had a lot more time and the equipment. And so I did a lot of work that was based on these ways of making large-scale prints and thinking about installation. And then I graduated and I ended up working a lot of different jobs that took me through production and, you know, different areas of print, tangential, print-related mediums. And then I decided that this whole time I've been making paintings as well. And then I got this residency at Center 3 in Hamilton, and I was supposed to go there.
I didn't know that.
It was a Dream Bathurst Street studio, actually, and if you haven't been to Bathurst Street studio, check it out. They're an incredible place for printmakers and learning in general.
Yeah.
But they had an exchange program there with Center 3, and so I was one of the first people to be sat there, and so I went, and it was just a wonderful experience. But the whole time I ended up making not prints, I ended up making these bent paper sculptures, and I was doing some stuff that took me well outside of what I thought I would be doing. And I got interested in how, you know, the 3D nature of forms can become a very much a part of a piece and getting a little bit more tactile interaction out of it. And so then the pandemic happened and that kind of blew everything else up. So I decided that, you know, not really doing a whole lot, might as well try to learn some new stuff, because what I also love is learning the process of learning new skills, new techniques, and that way of when you start to do something over and over again with your body, with your hands, you get this very deep tacit knowledge of the craft or the technique. And that became a much more important part of, you know, how I think about art, is how do I engage that tacit aspect. And so it kind of was a very slow journey towards getting a lot more depth and immediate form out of the works that way.
That's very interesting. And I mean, I've found that, like, every time I start working in a new medium, it also kind of shifts the way that I see the world. Did you find that as well?
100%. Yeah, there's you know, I find it hard to transition or carry one way of thinking across different mediums, because I feel like every medium has its own personality, its own voice, and it's very intriguing for me to kind of pick something up and then I'm wondering, how do I, you know, work with this? How do I dance with this particular medium? Because I like that dynamic, you know, of learning from the medium or learning from the materials that I'm working with. They have as much to teach me as I can do anything with them.
Totally.
Interesting. So maybe we can talk a little bit about the work that's currently up at 226 Main Street. You know, it's got a lot of sculptural aspects with kind of like, but still most of them are on the wall still. And so, but I'd like to kind of, maybe you can unpack in terms of the process of making some of the work. And I don't know if I'm not going to specifically select anything, but maybe if you can talk about some of your pieces that just come to mind for you that are currently in the show, that would be great.
Absolutely. I'll talk about the one piece that's at the entrance. It's right beside the windows. It's got three sticks of woven paint, actually, and it's set in between pillars of tindlestone, and it's got some balloons just kind of plopped on top of the whole thing. And I'll talk a bit about the project that emerged from. So for the last several years, I've been working on a research project that's called How to Make Art in the Form of a Flower. And the focus of that has been thinking about, you know, flowers in general. How do flowers appear in our culture? How are they used thematically through art, in stories, literature, and trying to capture some of the essence of, you know, the sheer prevalence of the flower as a concept in art making. And so, you know, that's been quite a challenge, because there's nothing specific about it. Like, it's so broad. But what I ended up focusing on was that aspect of tacit knowledge. And, you know, what interests me about a flower, when I notice flowers, when I'm on a walk, it's just this bright object in the most unexpected place. And wild flowers are just the best example of that. You go and, you know, the parking lot, and there's some wildflowers there that just stand out so much. And so that nature of capturing interest and trying to, you know, bring a little bit of that surprise of discovery into thinking about making art is what I was trying to capture. And so to tie that into what's in the show, I ended up studying and researching all of these different craft practices like weaving and embroidery and tufting, specifically to get that very direct hands-on you know, experience, knowledge, and understanding of the works. And none of that's in the show. I made a lot of bad practice pieces for quite a while. And that's the nature of learning, is that, you know, it takes a long time.
So, yeah, that's how it goes.
So that's a great sort of segue into another question for me, is that can you talk about your process in terms of, like, you know, for a show like this, you've obviously edited, like you just said, you've edited out work. And so for you, what can you talk a little bit about the process of, like, well, this is going to go into the show and this is not? Can you tell us why, or the process in terms of what sort of determines a piece going into the show or not?
As best I can. It's a very intuitive response to what I end up with. And I find that this is kind of my way of seeing things, is that if I end up with what I wanted to end up with, I'm disappointed. Yeah. Like, if I start out trying to make a painting of, you know, somebody I know, and I end up with a painting of somebody that I know, it was fun to make, right? But it's not surprise discovery.
Yeah, you were a surprise, yeah.
And so a lot of what I ended up doing was I was making so many different pieces and trying all of these different ways of working with the materials that I had, that I had a lot of pieces to choose from. And so when it came time to install the show, I just packed up a bunch of stuff in the boxes that I had, put it around the gallery, and just kind of went with, oh, this feels right, that feels, you know, not quite right. So it's a little bit of whittling away. And a lot of the final pieces were actually the tinderstone that I found as scraps, actually, because I was looking for some nails at the restore, and there was this palette outside that was just a whole bunch of tinder scraps, offcuts, and all those different shapes and sizes. And it was just the perfect contrast to all of these soft materials that I had been working with for so long, like yarn, and then making paint imitate yarn. And you just needed something hard to contrast that. So it ended up working quite well for that.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And, you know, you talk about all these materials, and there really is, like, a material ambiguity when you look at these.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because I'm looking at the work, and I'm going, like, what is that?
Yeah.
Like, I can't, you know, and I'm going, like, how did he make that? It's like, I can't, it's interesting.
Yeah, so that element of, like, surprise or discovery is really prevalent in your work, which is really fun.
Yeah. I would say that's what kind of makes the work. I feel like, in some ways, that's sort of your signature in some ways. Like, I feel it's,
I actually had a show a couple of years ago, just after the pandemic, maybe. Time's fuzzy there, but there were a couple of works I was working with paper and paper pulp at the time, and making these bas relief sculptures with them. And I had so many people come up to me after saying that they just needed to touch these pieces, just get their hands all over them.
Totally get it.
No, that was just the best feeling, realizing that everybody wants to be able to interact with that, the works, and feel it. And a lot of the materials that I've found just have that desire to be touched that way.
Even with your balloons that you have in the show, and it's like, and they're not straightforward balloons, you know, it's like, and you're looking at them and you're like, and so you immediately want to poke it to see like what's in these things, you know, it's like you're just, yeah.
There's already a couple of fingerprints.
Oh yeah.
Here and there.
They're not from us. We asked Mathis what was in them.
Yes.
We didn't poke them, we swear.
Well, I did after we asked him, but I was like,
"Oh, geez, Derek." Well,
yeah, I just couldn't help it. I was really gentle though. I didn't leave a mark or anything. I just like.
Were you surprised?
Yeah, like, yeah, just, you know, like, I think that the thing about the balloons is that they looked like soft sculpture. They were kind of like balloons that were saggy, and so I thought, oh, that's sort of interesting, you know, because like a balloon tends, you know, when it's blown, it tends to be taut and kind of symmetrical, and your balloons are not any of those things. And I just thought, and then juxtaposed with the Tyndall stone, they just make a, yeah, there's just an interesting visual language there that I really enjoyed. And so, yeah, it caught my curiosity. And then the thing with the cork was also something that just, yeah, it was all, yeah. Just all very interesting.
Yeah. But interesting discovery.
Yeah.
In terms of how resilient particular combo is, just to, you know, have something that's so strong that I could spend weeks straight just kind of weaving it together and then pulling it apart. It was fun to play with.
And I guess the other thing with the balloons too, which I found really interesting, is that, you know, the balloons are sort of a material that's kind of, you know, kind of, I don't know if fragile is the right word, but, you know, and then juxtaposed beside it, like resting on it or underneath it, and you're creating tension with it, with the Tyndall stone, which is something that's very hard. And in some cases you were using water cutting on the Tyndall stone tube. But I just thought the combination of the two materials was quite interesting. I like the opposite sort of feel that they have, but you make them integrated really well.
And that was the real, real pleasant discovery just right at the very end of putting all of these works together was,
yeah,
not beyond just the materials of the pieces. There's, you know, the reason for the balloons is that there's that kind of mass reproduction element of the material. You can go to any dollar store, get a whole bunch of them, and, you know, that's your print, basically. And the Tyndall stone is, it was a wonderful discovery, but I was actually looking specifically for a kind of stone material, something that had a connection to architecture specifically, because the other element of the works or the pieces in general has been that connection to bas relief, because the overall, like, connection between everything is this sense of ornamentation that you find,
totally.
Like, you know, weaving and embroidery, and embroidery in particular is, in the last 400 years, the form of formal wear. And one of the little, it's a 3D print, actually, that's in the corner of the show. It's a 3D print that's based on the chasuble. And if you don't know what the chasuble is, it's this formal garment for priests specifically. And they're beautiful. They are incredible pieces of craft work that are, you know, the best things that a priest can wear. And they are, interestingly, they have this long history from like 1600 to something like 1850s or so, where there was a thriving international trade for chasubles. And so there are Chinese and Spanish-made chasubles with English and French motifs.
Is this what you're talking about?
That's the one.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. It's a very basic version of it. And Derek just showed me a picture of one of the pieces, so we're looking at that right now. It's right by the
work where you're using the watercolor on the Tyndall stone, yeah, in between the corner there, yeah.
It's kind of playing around with that, you know, with a combination of smushing all of these different time periods almost and references all together in one, just, you know, straightforward, but that's kind of mimicking a lot of the ways that the source materials that I've been thinking about have come together. And so with architecture as well in this show, like, I don't have, there's no craft, there's no DIY craft version of, you know, stone carving. Yeah, you can't really do that in one afternoon.
Yeah, definitely not in an afternoon. Maybe soapstone. It's very soft.
Soapstone, small.
Small, but then it doesn't have that connection to architecture the way that Tindalstone does, which if you're out there and you don't know what Tindalstone is, it is a limestone that is basically mined only in Manitoba. It has a very distinctive pale beige color with like kind of taupe or gray markings on it from little animals and stuff that got caught in the limestone when it was forming.
It's very pattern-like. It's very pattern-like.
It's what the Winnipeg Art Gallery is made of. It's what a lot of university buildings are made of.
At one point, the Winnipeg Convention Center was made of, the skin was made of it too. It's not like that anymore, but yeah.
Yeah, so very important to Winnipeg's architecture, especially.
Yeah.
It's very iconic to Manitoba and Winnipeg for sure. Yeah. And so that's just a nice local touch, and just the fact that there's so much of the material available that you can find it in a used pile for like $20 for everything. It's incredible.
Yeah. Hey, so if you're just tuning in, you're listening to CKW 95.9 FM, and we're here interviewing artist Bromwell Eden. Enan, Bromwell's got a show up at 226 Main Street. Bromwell, can you give us the dates and times for the exhibition?
Yeah, the show is now up until February 11 next week.
Yeah.
And we're going to be hanging out there tomorrow evening from 7 to 9 p.m.
So Friday?
Plus this weekend from 10 to 3 Saturday and Sunday.
Okay. Right.
Perfect. And then you're by appointment for other days of the week as well, right?
You bet. So if there's a time that you want to check it out that doesn't work in those open hours, just send us a message on Instagram and we can happily bring you in anytime.
And what is your Instagram account?
It is Wisp Wist. But just search for my name and you'll find it.
Okay. So Bramwell Enan on Instagram. And so... is it correct that you work at the art gallery as an installer?
I do. I've actually been working there since August last year doing a bit of design work for them.
So it's something you and Zoe have in common. Zoe is an installer at various spaces too. So,
amazing.
So I'm kind of curious about like how does that influence your work? I feel like it does.
I don't know if it's been long enough for any influencers to show up. But it has been fascinating to have that, you know, behind the scenes of how does the gallery operate at that scale. And it's fascinating. There are so many considerations beyond just like how does the show go up and what the art looks like. And for good and bad, there's a lot to know. There's a lot to be aware of. In terms of, you know, going home and making art, I don't know if I'm going to try to bring home that design work because it's very, you know, business side, but it's a fascinating, fun place to work.
Great. Totally. I mean, the first thing that I would think of with that is I also helped install the platform 11x14, which you had work in, and you had donated these small sculptures. And I remember they came and I came to the gallery and I was opening the box and looking at them and I'm like, how on earth does this work? And then it was like, oh, you drill a hole in the wall and then there's a post and it all slides in to be perfectly flush against the wall. And I was just like, wow, that's awesome. That's crazy.
If only all the people were that good, right? Like with installing the work, right?
It's it was
that actually the best thing I've learned is be very diligent with the install notes and tell people how to, you know, install the stuff because it's up to somebody else who's never seen it.
Yeah, 100%. So I appreciated those notes.
I always feel like, you know, we should have like a workshop at the School of Art, like on like different techniques for installing work or something. Like I feel like, you know, get a couple of installers in there and we do run a workshop one day or something. I think it'd be...
That would be incredible.
Yeah, it'd be pretty interesting to do.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I always like say to the students, you know, there's a guy here that, you know, Dan, Delaney's, who works at School of Art, and you know, he worked as an installer at the WAG for 10 years. And I always tell the students, go talk to Dan. I bet you he's got about 3 different ways or 10 different ways in terms of how you could install that. You know, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, totally. I mean, another resource for that would be C.W. Brooks,
who's the
registrar at the School of Art Gallery. They have what they call a degree in tape and paper printmaking.
Okay.
So they know all the ways to hinge your print works on the wall with nice tapes.
That's right. Acid-free.
Yeah. But we're nearing the end of the show now.
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to add, Bram, in terms of the show or your work or where people can find you?
Oh, man. Find me on Instagram. If you see me on the street, say hello. I'd like to hang out at a coffee shop in Embarda.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
That's right. So you can check out Bramwell Enan on his Instagram at WispWist, or just Google Bramwell Enan, that's E-N-A-N, on Instagram, and you can find all of his work there. Yeah.
All right. Well, until next time, which will be Fun Drive.
That's right, Fun Drive, and we've already got like, what, $150 worth of pre-pledges, I think?
Yeah, I think so, which is so fantastic. Big shout out to Angela LeBrun, treasurer of CARFAC, and my mom for donating, and to Derek for donating. We're very excited to kick it off.
You know, let's go out and support commercial free radio, and you know, give us some reinforcements as to why you like to listen to all the fabulous programming that happens here at CKOW. And if you want, you can even go into the online system and donate specifically to Eat Your Arts and Vegetables, our show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Go do it. We would love it if you did.
Yep.
But yeah, stay tuned for Tawny the Brave. Until next time, au revoir.
Yeah.
Have a great night, everybody.
Okay. Bye bye.
Yeah.
And thanks, Bramwell.
Yeah.
I like to walk the long way home in silence, to hear the dead leaves roll along the highways, clicking like high heels on the concrete ground. Some kind of memory is trapped inside that sound, chasing every sunrise in the backseat of cars. Hold my body a little too tight till we're the last ones in the bar. Down the fields when we first met, tried not to reveal them, but they came out in every word I said. Been out in the country when I let my guard down. I could tell you were happy, but I also knew something else, that you had no home to go to, no place to call your own. Despite